Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. You've got to catch the first off. You missed it where John went into the wrong bathroom. Somebody like that. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos for the Extra Hour. We're going to be talking about this new movie just came out, a made-for-television movie, which is Betty and Coretta, which I think was pretty cool, and talked about some things that we learned of that, which is Malcolm X's wife and Dr. King's wife, Martin Luther King Jr. Also, we're going to be talking about the Sermon on the Mount. You know, what is God? He says we're going to get blessed if we do these certain things. We're going to talk about that and hopefully get a chance to talk about, you know, these NFL football players and these earphones they wear. Why does a player put earphones on the ear right before a game? It makes you wonder, what are we letting come in our ear that makes us mess our game up and so much more? You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is the producer of VFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
My goodness, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Yes, the I don't know if you saw that or not. I thought, oh my goodness, this is great. You know, I think it's because... Yes, I did. I saw it. I couldn't wait to see it.
I wanted to see it.
They're going to play it 400 times. You'll see it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, they've already played it several times. And it's from the perspective of Dr. King and Malcolm X's wives, their wives. Mm-hmm. And even if you get it half right, thank God for half of it, you know, coming out.
Right.
But of course, Coretta King, just an awesome woman of God, and so compassionate mm-hmm. and loving, and they show both of their stories where,
both of their husbands?
Yes, both of their husbands get, first Malcolm was speaking at a particular place. I don't know if it was Apollo, where it was. It was
Apollo, New York.
Yeah. And allegedly, he was definitely gunned down, but the suspect supposedly or allegedly was...
Nation of Islam?
Yeah, the Nation of Islam.
Oh, wow.
And because he was Islamic, a form of Islam, mm-hmm. and he did not like what was the prophet was marrying all these women, and he was against that. He started speaking out against it, mm-hmm. and basically he was just saying, you know, when you get it right, then I'll stop this. And so he's literally mm-hmm. rebuking the religious organization that he was in publicly. Mm-hmm. And so he brings his family to speak at the Apollo. And as he's speaking, they have a disturbance in the audience, like, get your hands out of my pocket. And everybody looks at the disturbance. Mm-hmm. And because you got a crowd of people that are watching right there. And while they're disturbed, this guy stands up like on the second row back and takes his gun and shoots Malcolm several times. And I think a couple other guns came out. And his daughter... His oldest daughter was watching her dad just, and of course the whole family was just brutally just murdered. Mm. And of course I knew that in the part of history, but I didn't know was the story as it progressed, because what's the form of Islam, John? The Nation of Islam.
Nation of Islam,
and its leader is
Louis Farrakhan.
Yeah, Louis Farrakhan. It's all Louis Farrakhan, and so. You know, Malcolm was really upset with him, and so in the movie, you know, Betty, you know, Malcolm's wife says that Shabazz, she says that, of course, on an interview, she publicly had an interview on New York television where she said, that's who killed my husband.
Yeah. Mm.
But in the context of that, her daughter heard that now they were going to try to, because she spoke open like that, now they were going to try to take her out and harm her mother.
Oh, wow.
So she gets with a particular boyfriend of hers or somebody and has a plot to be able to this is core of the movie.
Yeah.
To kill
Louis Farrakhan,
you know, some sort of plot. Mm. And then so she gets arrested. Her daughter gets arrested. And I could see, you know, when you think about it, I sat there and watched my father killed by... allegedly this organization, mm-hmm. and now they're threatening my mother and I got to stop this. And so she goes to jail. She gets a phone call, and she's lived this whole life of just the family just. And the truth is because they weren't following Jesus. They were following
right.
Muhammad.
Right.
And you can tell the difference in Dr. King's family, and you can tell the difference in Malcolm X's family.
Mm.
It was just horrific what happened in their family. So she was constantly in drugs and just, you know, she's trying to grasp, you know, everything to her losses or whatever. And so according to the movie, you know, the documentary, they did it so we could have Black history, what happened in America, some of it. And you know, Betty gets a call from her daughter in jail. She goes to visit her in jail. And she said, because I spoke openly, this is what they've done to my daughter. Because I spoke openly about it, it's what they've done to my daughter. And this is what came next. She gets a phone call from
Louis Farrakhan.
Louis Farrakhan. I don't know why Louis is just not with me today. Louis Farrakhan, or his people, and says, if you will appear publicly at the Apollo and basically speak positive about Islam, that they would see that this you don't believe that to be true, then we won't say she did this, and therefore they can't press charges because we're not going to be there to back all those statements up. And so she met with Coretta, and they talked about it, and Coretta says, you know, you got to do what you got to do for your kid or whatever, and based on the movie.
Wow.
And the best thing they could have done was disassociate themselves from Islam and turn to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But she did it. She publicly affirmed Islam and Louis Farrakhan and all that at the Apollo where her husband was shot, the very same place, at the people who actually allegedly killed her husband.
Wow.
To free her daughter.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, you know, so the daughter, the oldest daughter, I couldn't pronounce her name if I tried, but Betty Shabazz's daughter, Malcolm X's daughter, went straight back into drugs and all that again. And so she had a son, Malcolm Jr. And so Betty took him in her house.
Mm-hmm.
He moved into a condo, and she was raising him herself, but he resented that. He wanted to be with his mother. And he lights a fire in her house while she's sleeping, dude. While she's sleeping.
Goodness.
And she opens the door like any grandmother would and sees this fire. And the first thing you're thinking is, I got to find Malcolm Jr. because just them two there.
Yeah.
And she ends up being engulfed in these flames and dies like 21 days later.
Oh, my
21
goodness.
21 days later, literally burned to death by Malcolm X Jr., according to this movie.
Oh, my God.
I was devastated. I could not believe that.
That's tragic.
Like, it's very tragic. But I didn't know this. I was so it's important to know this, how what happened and the tragedies there and Louis Farrakhan, all the things that happened there. But the understand too, it proves that's not of God.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes, you know, you can't denounce God to save someone. You can never do that because you're not going to save them or anybody if you denounce Jesus Christ. And when you publicly affirm Islam, Islam's belief is that Muhammad is the prophet and Jesus is not the son of God.
Right.
And that he has to come back and apologize for calling himself the son of God. Wow. And it's against Christians and Jews. And it's just totally opposite. It's an antichrist type religion.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, it's all I could think is that, you know, that thing just grabbed a hold of that family and just did these terrible things to them. And then all this tragedy happening. And of course, Malcolm Jr. was outside watching the place burn up, and a police officer comes over to him and says, you know, you need to move out of here. You need to move out of here. And he starts saying, I didn't know she would be, it would deliver. And so they immediately put him in the cruiser, the police car, and they didn't talk about how that turned out. I can't tell you how that turned out. But, on the other hand, and they didn't portray, you know, Betty and Coretta as, you know, constant companions. But they actually met on a stage at a conference that they had. It was African-American conference or a Black conference or something of that nature. It was the first one that was being held. And they both came to speak. And she wanted to speak, Betty did, to let people know that who her husband was that they knew, Malcolm. Malcolm had changed in his last days. And he had taken, but he changed in his character, but not in his beliefs, because he took a pilgrimage to Mecca, and he realized that all the races of the world, and we're all, you know, you're either good or bad, not based off your race.
Mm-hmm.
But it still was a march to Mecca. And but Coretta you know, obviously just a steady woman of God, and she was being harassed by J. Edgar Hoover as they were recording all their conversations, personal, intimate relationship between Dr. King and his wife, and all these things was going on. But Betty and Coretta, this Congress, this black Congress that was going on, they had all these radicals there that was kind of connected to what Malcolm X originally was part of. And she wanted to go there to be able to represent who she felt like he really was. And she spoke out, you know, against violence and against all that. And,
wow.
And Coretta talked to Malcolm when he was speaking at a place and told her that, you know, violence is not the way. And Dr. King could not associate with Malcolm because of his choices of violence. And when it finally happened, and it's something like Dr. King's, what they're saying, he said, is, you know, he was fighting for the right cause in the wrong way. And basically,
like a preach.
Yeah, fighting for the right cause in the wrong way, mm-hmm. and that violence will never work. And and that's what we talked about, those Ten Commandments of being able to walk with Dr. King. Mm-hmm. And you heard what I was saying, if you remember that segment, was, well, Malcolm couldn't have joined Dr. King because he had a pledge to nonviolence. Mm-hmm. And you can understand when people are beating you and calling you and degrading you. I mean, if you don't know Jesus, even if you know Jesus,
yeah.
if you don't know Jesus, it's going to be really hard not to respond in like manner.
Sure.
That's going on. But it's really, I mean, hey, you know, it gives a perspective of their wives. You know, she was always being hounded by the press. Coretta was. She stood up for women's rights, and you know that, and that's why they were showing up, to be able to stand up for women. So you got to check it out. It'll give you more perspective of our history, and that's the reason why they made it. They say is so that we cannot forget American history, and it's called Betty and Coretta, and it is Malcolm X's wife being portrayed by an actress and a doctor. Martin Luther King Jr.'s wife being portrayed by an actress right there. Well, my goodness. I don't know if you saw the did you see the Super Bowl?
I did.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe that I fell asleep?
Yeah.
I fell asleep while I went, and I was like, oh, this thing's over, you know.
Fall asleep at halftime and the lights went out.
Saints fans never fall asleep. This could be that miracle moment, you know. They stay awake.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Amazing.
They at least pray for it.
Yeah, yeah. And I was watching, you know, it happened the way it was happening. But it was so cool that how it turned out, I found out the next day, Blindside. Y'all remember the movie Blindside?
Oh, yeah.
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 He's on that team.
Yeah. You didn't know that?
No, what? You know.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. And I was just so cool to watch, you know, him and his mother and his sister and brother, and they're all celebrating, like, we won the Super Bowl.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, she's giving a big hug, and it's just so cool to see that. If you didn't see the movie Blindside, what's the player's name?
Michael Orr.
That it's a powerful, powerful life story. How he ended up, now he's a super. Think about it. You made the movie too soon.
Because I know it, right?
Somehow you're going to have to go make a second edition. And we won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, right.
We won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And it's all because of this family that loved him and brought him in and made him part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And it was just so cool. There's a statement that was made that was very powerful. I can't tell you what it is because she said it was just beautiful. It's something like, there's no shortage of children who need a place. There's it was good. It was good. It was something
his biological mother too.
Yeah, well, that was his biological mother on the field that was hugging him out there.
Oh, was it?
After the game, yeah. It definitely wasn't the actress that played his mother. She was there with her child. Her adopted child, the one that played his mother in the movie.
Mm.
Whoa, we are some rabbit trails now, aren't we?
Yeah.
My goodness. If you haven't read Wolfgang Simpson, he has a book out about the unpersecutable church. It's a very good book. But in one of his books, he has what he calls the 15 theses towards the incarnation of Christ, and just getting a God perspective of the church again. And it's so important. You got to read it. It's available. I know if you go to, make it available on the Torch today. The thesis, it's 15 statements about the church. And this is one big thing that he says. He says that the church as we know it is preventing church as God wants it.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. The church as we know it is preventing church as God wants it.
Wow.
It's so powerful.
Yeah.
And, you know, in rethinking church, you know, we want to always be open, just like the mindsets I talked about in the beginning or the end of the first hour. You know, be open to saying, well, maybe this is not how it really is. Maybe how I think it is not how it really is. I have to be open to be able to just consider to rethink it. I mean, if it's right, it's just going to be a reaffirming type encounter with the truths of God. And if it's wrong, it gives you the opportunity to make it right. And the big question is, you know, is God in control of his church or is he not?
Mm-hmm.
Is he really a shepherd whose voice his people hear and live and follow that doesn't follow any others? Or is it a church that doesn't even hear his voice, doesn't even really know much about him, but they follow somebody else who say they hear his voice? Is it only one or two people who can hear his voice or 100?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it the 6.7 billion people on the face of the earth who could hear his voice if they chose to and follow him? And that's a big paradigm shift when you think, well, and maybe you've given up on the fact of trying to introduce people to the voice of the Lord. And it could be the reason why you're trying to introduce people who aren't saved, who are just showing up somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And but those who actually know Jesus that are believers, they're going to want to hear his voice.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to want to, and you have to practice. You have to learn how to hear him through his written word and how he speaks to you in a still small voice, and how he convicts you and how he encourages you and how he protects you and all the things that he does. But you have to be open to the concept and say, you know what? What if, you know, say you're a shepherd right now, you're a pastor over 100 people. There's 100 of them there. And you just go talk to them one at a time and ask them, you know, does God speak to you and how does he speak to you?
Mm.
And when he does, what do you do with it? I mean, has he been saying to you for the last 10 years, just show up here and sing this song and say this prayer and dance around or clap or and then go back home? Is that all he's saying to you?
Right.
Is he saying to you that 95% of you will not win one person or tell one person about him? According to George Barna, 95% will win one person to the Lord.
Right.
I mean, is he really saying that? And this is a powerful, powerful word. The scriptures tell us this. As the day is, do not forsake the fellowship of coming together, especially as the days get closer. Do not forsake the fellowship of coming together.
Mm-hmm.
But we've taken that to such an extreme right now that we have forsaken the work for the fellowship. That's predominantly also what we do. The church at large, like, we just fellowship.
Right.
We have fun. We have plays. We have songs. We have dances. We have wings on buildings. We have, you know, we've forsaken the work for the fellowship. We really flipped that upside down.
Wow.
That's what the Lord spoke to me in my spirit Sunday, you know, as we're, or two Sundays ago, and we're listening after the 7-day fast and prayer and hearing what God's saying is, you know, that we've taken, he says, you know, do not forsake the fellowshipping with your brothers, especially as the day gets closer. Well, in America, we've forsaken the work for fellowship. We actually think, I mean, here they were. So the question is, what were they doing when they weren't fellowshipping? Maybe they were actually walking out light of the gospel and telling people about God and evangelizing and sharing their life with people.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, you know, you're going to go burn in hell because you didn't fellowship. Yeah, you know, he didn't say, you know, you're sinning. He says, don't forsake the fellowship. So it's a very important part. We need each other. But we don't forsake the work for the fellowship. And the whole thing is like, we got this fellowship thing down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We know how to fellowship.
Right.
The thing is, we've forsaken the work now.
Mm.
The life, the vineyard, the responsibilities, the expectations, the Great Commission, everything God's told us to do, all we do is fellowship.
Hmm.
We fellowship. Potluck, whatever luck, you know, just all these different things we fellowship. It's like, how many more messages can you tell people who aren't planning on doing anything with it? You're really messing our fellowship up with this conviction thing. Because you know we're just going to come back next Sunday because we're here hearers, right?
Right.
Or, you know, et cetera. And the thing is, like we've forsaken the work for the sake of fellowship.
Mm.
You know, and I was, you know, guilty of the fact of telling people when I was a pastor of a traditional expression, I was like, you know, you've got to be here at this fellowship. You got to be here at this fellowship. And it was like, that was the pinnacle. That was the most you can expect from American believers to show up.
Right.
You know, you got to be here. You know, didn't care what was, you know, didn't have any expectations outside of that.
Mm.
And I look around, it's like, that's how so many define success as a believer, is as long as they keep showing up at your gathering, despite them living in darkness all week long, despite them not telling anybody about Jesus, despite them not being able to even hear his voice, and despite them not being discipled and learning his ways, that we give them this great, you're doing great. You're doing wonderful. Mm. You know, you think about it, you ask yourself this question, why are I concerned with that?
Right.
Why are I concerned with that? Is it because they're actually financing this thing?
Uh-oh.
Is that the reason why?
Mm-hmm.
And you can test that by saying, listen, for the next 90 days, I need to check this out. Please do not bring any money in this place. We got to find out if it's going to live, if it's going to fall. Because if it falls, it's not God. No, turn it off. I was just talking, and it's just an idea. Don't turn off the radio. I'm serious, because if that's the only reason why, think about the injustice that's going to be experienced at the throne of God when you have to say that's the reason. Really, the truth is, because how many more? I got a new sermon. I got a new 4 points. I got a new. I was like, come on.
Yeah.
At what point? And I'm going to talk more about this in just a moment. We come back from this break. But listen, we need to ask the question, you know, what are we preventing so God can have church the way he wants it? We're back.
You know, Jesus said, in John 15, he says, talking of himself, right, Pat?
Mm-hmm.
He says, I am the vine, talking of himself.
Right.
You, us, believers, are the branches.
Mm-hmm.
And his father, our father, mm-hmm. is the gardener.
Right.
And the vine just kind of grows where it wants to go. You know, it grows towards the sun. Natural vines grow towards the S-U-N.
Mm-hmm.
And spiritual vine and branches grow to the S-O-N.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that is neat.
And so, you know, for God spoke to me about, as he called me out to be able to begin to do what we're doing today.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't just happen like this. And he said, very specifically, I'm going to teach you something for 3 years that I'm going to use for the next 30 years of my church.
Wow.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And he confirmed that through Dutch Sheets. It was pretty cool how God had done that, because you think, you know, when God's calling you, this might be you right now. You might be thinking, okay, I got the call. I'm ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, many are called, but few are chosen. You have to understand that there's a process of learning and growing that you need to understand. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. You know, when he said, get thee up and go to Abram, that meant 25 years, right?
Right.
Well, you need to get rightly related. You need to get connected to what God is doing. And we tried. So once the 3 years was up, it was amazing. Just right in time, God just showed up in a powerful way. He just nailed it. He said, it's finished. It's time to do it. It was just really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And we started the 30-year journey.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, how could we explain this in a short period of time, you know, a condensed period of time to help people get perspective
right.
of what Vine Fellowship Network's about, and it just integrates with the Word of God. It was just doing what God says, mm-hmm. you know. And so while Vine, which is Jesus is the vine,
mm-hmm.
fellowship is what the church does, and network. We all stay together and stay rightly related, which is, you know, Psalms 133, you know,
right.
and John 17:23. And so what came of that was we call it the Vine Seminar, the mm-hmm. Vine Seminar, Vine Seminars, which is, there's several different seminars now that's evolved in, but knowing this, that the main seminar that started it was trying to explain
mm-hmm.
How do you move from a flower pot to a vine? How do you move out of the fences and the confinement of men's tradition rightly, not wrongly,
right,
and follow God in the Great Commission? And God walked us through a way to do that. Mm-hmm. And he confirmed it every step of the way. We share that. We share that at the Vine Seminars. You can find out more at vineseminars.org. You can sign up for one in your city. Fill it out. Let them know that you are interested in it, and we'll make it available to you. It's vineseminars.org.
I want to thank you for everybody that's joining in on our Facebook. You know, you can get to it by going to vfntv.com, or you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV. These are going to VFNTV and click on that. But think about it. It is so cool. Every day, no matter where you are, inside the community with over a billion people now, 1/6 of the world's population is in this particular community. Everybody's saying, you got a Facebook. We got a Facebook. Mm-hmm. We got a Facebook, and it's over, I don't know, it's over 5,000. It's just clicking up, and just you're joining us, and we're so excited about that because every day we're in communication. All the highlights that are on your VFNTV app, that's at vfntv.com, is also on your Facebook, so it follows us everywhere we go. We got a virtual audience, a virtual stadium, if you would, that's being filled all around the world, and now we're in the Facebook community. Thank you. And if you have not yet, you know, go to our Facebook and like us. Go to facebook.com/VFNTV and click on like. And what does that mean? When you do that, every post that goes out on our Facebook shows up on your Facebook every single day. So you can say, hey, that segment was about me. I want to be encouraged today. Maybe every day you listen to the Wisdom Moment. Maybe there's God's news behind the news and something's coming up that says, you know, I needed to know what God's perspective, the word is on that particular thing. Listen, this is the conversation that we're having together in the virtual audience of our Facebook. Go to vfntv.com and click on our Facebook, or at facebook.com/VFNTV. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. We're just talking about, you know, rethinking church again, you know, begin to just kind of revisit that and say, you know, what we need to begin to lead people to God's voice. And if that's you right now, if you're a pastor, if you're just want to get in tune with God's voice, listen, go to, and you don't have a plan, we have a plan for you, a free plan. You can go to iabide.org and request your free plan today. And realize as soon as you submit that request, it'll take you right to a plan, and you'll have to click on that, I believe, or it'll show up, or one or the other. I forget. You click on that link, and it'll take you right to that plan at that point. Just fill out the request. Once you push submit, look immediately. It'll take you right to the plan. You click on that, and boom, you're going to have a video how to begin to hear the voice of the Lord. Also, you can go to VFNTV, and on VFNTV at VFNTV.com, and watch the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord, you'll get to hear some experiences, how God speaks. Understand when you read the Word of God, look at it this way. God was speaking to everybody in the Word of God, in the Bible. And how did God speak to them? And realize that he said that my sheep know my voice. And don't be okay with not being able to hear the voice of God. Now you might hear in part and prophesy in part, like all of us, but you'll actually hear enough that when you're with a body, when you come together from now on, it won't be, oh, it'll be, oh, yeah, amen. I understand. That agrees with what God's been telling me in my spirit. Well, you know, the Sermon on the Mount, I just want to share just a little bit about it. I don't know how much time we actually have, but hopefully I get a chance to share. But, you know, think about this. When Jesus, his first aspect of ministry, once he's come through he's been baptized, he went by John the Baptist, he's gone, and he was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, in the desert, you know, to fast 40 days, and he was tempted by the devil there, and he comes out of that, and he begins to call his disciples to himself, and when they gathers disciples to himself, he sits down on a mountain, and he begins to teach them, mm-hmm. And that's what we call the Sermon on the Mount. It's actually, he sat down on a mountain and began to teach. That's what that means. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we can legalize the whole concept of Sermon on the Mount. So the thing is, it's not the mountain, it's what did he say when he was on that mountain, which is his expectations of us. And he started talking about how we can have a blessed life. And we know, you think, man, Jesus gave us the secrets of how to be blessed. And he began to say, you know, this is, you're blessed if you do this, you're blessed if you do that, you're blessed if you do this. It's like, my goodness, we need to listen to the words of Jesus. How many things are being said today that's not even the basic words of Jesus. We've got to go back and say, mm-hmm. you know, what did Jesus say?
That's right.
And go back to his words, the Sermon on the Mount, and it goes on. But this, we're going to go right to you know, Matthew chapter 5, verse 2. And he's talking to him, and his disciples are sitting around him. He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." That's three blessings. That's three blessings. Mm. Fourth blessing. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." Look at all these blessings. "And blessed are the poor in heart, for they will see God." There's even more. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God." It just keeps going. There's another one. "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And finally, another blessing, John, Pat. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of me," Jesus said. Think about that. He said, "Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven." It's just powerful. We're thinking, like, you know, I want to have a blessed life. And the very first thing that Jesus tells us is how to have a blessed life. The first thing he does, his first message is, he says, "I want to bless you. I didn't come in the world to condemn the world. I come in the world to save the world. I'm going to tell you actually how to be blessed." And when you think about eight different blessings that he talks about, it requires us, we have to do these eight different things. And these eight things is what? The first thing he told us, that we have to learn how to embrace weakness. Mm-hmm. You don't push weakness away. Draw it close to you as a friend. Embrace it. Listen, God exists in your always, but in your life, is manifests his presence in your life when you're willing to embrace weakness in your life. The second thing he tells us is to be broken over your sin. You know, blessed are those who mourn, right? That they be broken, have a brokenness for our sin in our life, for when we've failed, if we've made mistakes. The next thing he tells us that we have to do to be able to be blessed, right, is to have humility in our life, to humble ourselves, in a total dependency on God and respect for other people, just humbling ourselves. The fourth thing he tells us is to seek to know the ways of Jesus and obey them. That's a disciple. Be a disciple. And the next thing we have to do to have this blessing, we'll be blessed, right? Showing mercy to others. And mercy is this: when people don't deserve things good done for them, you do good things for them. Mm-hmm. And you'll find people that aren't gifted or don't understand mercy, they'll question you, "Why are you still being nice? What's going on?" But, you know, he says that that there's a blessing that comes with it. When you're merciful, there's a blessing that comes from this. Mm. And that's really helps you out, because sometimes you're wondering, should I be doing anything for this person because of all the things they've done? The truth is, just be merciful. Mm. Just be merciful and let God do it, because it's God's kindness that quite often that leads people to repentance. And the next is we got to be able to be blessed is to have pure motives. You know, how is our heart, our motives of our heart? It matters why we do what we do. Mm. And, you know, I'm just very naive about a lot of things. I'm shocked to find out. You mean you've been doing all this for all this time, and that was your motives? You really wanted to make a name for yourself? Is that what that was really going on? Are you, you know, just shocked. Mm. Like, oh my goodness. And so we have to have pure motives why we're doing what we're doing. The next thing we do, we have to be a peacemaker. You know, that we want to make peace. And peace, though, the word, when you look it up in the Greek, it means confronter. You know, like a stop sign is a peacemaker. It brings peace in that intersection, right? Mm. It confronts you and says, stop. But it's a peacemaker. Mm. And so a peacemaker is not somebody that says, que sera, whatever we will be. It's the fact that that were willing to do what's right to maintain the peace. Police officers used to be called bobbies or peace officers because they were there to maintain the peace. As a police officer, they would call us out to situations just for the purpose of maintaining the peace, so that you had two people that were arguing that we're going to have to go meet again because of something. And mm-hmm. the police officer would show up to maintain the peace. But you had to be, your presence had to be there. Everybody had to be confronted with that authority. And so being a peacemaker is more, it's not case or right, case or right. It's like doing what's right, understanding in the long run, there's going to be peace there in that situation. Mm-hmm. And the eighth one, the eighth expectation of God for us to have these blessings is to be obedient, even in persecution, to bear up under unjust treatment, and to suffer for doing good. We have to bear up under that persecution. Persecution is not if you rob a bank and you go to court for it and you go to serve 10 years in prison. That's not persecution. That is justice.
Right.
Persecution is that you made sure you didn't rob a bank. You did everything best of your ability to do what's right, and now they're accusing you of robbing a bank, but you didn't.
Right.
That's persecution. So we got to get a perspective then. So these are eight trials. These are eight trials for us. In other words, he's saying, listen, if you'll go through these trials and be loyal to me, and these eight perspectives, and this is just the beginning of a conversation, you think about the paradigm of the blessing, then understand you got to get God's perspective on these eight expectations of God, because if we walk faithfully in them and to do them, then we know that we're going to be blessed.
Mm.
We're going to be blessed. And getting that perspective then have to have a perspective, because these are all trials, right? It's trials when you have to embrace weakness.
Mm.
It's trials when you have to be, you know, not only are you repenting for your sin, but you need to be broken for your sin. It's a trial. With humility is a trial when pride tries to raise up. You know, seeking to know Jesus' ways and obey them is a trial to your flesh, wanting to go a different way. Pure motives, all these different things, showing mercy to the people who don't even deserve it. Being obedient in the midst of persecution. These are trials. So we got to have a perspective of these trials so that we can be blessed, like Jesus says that we'll be blessed. So this is basically a list of godly expectations from Jesus that can help us walk into a place of trials. I think of James chapter 1, verse 2, he tells us, he says, literally, consider it pure joy. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, which is fellow believers now, when we face trials of many kinds. But think about that.
Mm.
Well, now we're understanding these eight trials. We're going to face these eight trials by God's mercy and grace. And he says, when you do it, consider it pure joy. And he tells us the reason why is because you know that the testing of your faith, develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything.
Mm.
So it's a place of blessing. We have to go through the fire and through the trials with these eight characteristics, and this is just some of it. We're talking about the beginning of the of Sermon on the Mount, of what Jesus first began to say. He says, listen, you want to be blessed? This is what you're going to need to do. And so many times we have a tendency to just to run from a trial or avoid it, or I got an appointment, or, you know, or what some people, they just keep switching church after church after church.
Yeah.
And their trials just kind of follow them there for some strange reason.
A lot of people want the testimony but don't want to go through the test.
All like, they have is the monies left, right?
Yeah, you got to go through the test. You got to go through the fire.
What's so cool about it, though, now we're understanding with Jesus' Sermon on the Mount that when we do that, we're blessed.
Yeah.
We're blessed when we're doing that. 1 Peter 1:6, towards the end of 6 there, he says, now, for a little while, you may have to suffer trials of many kinds, of all kinds, just for a little while. He says, these have come. So don't, you know, listen, you're not the only one going through something.
Mm-hmm.
And they have come. He says, these have come so that, which is the motive, your faith, so it has to do with your faith, which is being confident in God in the midst of all the calamity and all the, if I embrace weakness, then God's going to have to defend me because I'm not defending myself. You know, when I'm being humble, you got to let God fight your battles. When you are merciful to people who don't deserve it, you got to just trust God in all that. If you're having faith that God will walk with you through that. He says, these have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, listen, American Christians in regards to the economy, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proven genuine. Mm. There's some ungenuine faith out there that we have to say, you know what? The only way we can find out that if it's genuine or not, we have to be able to go through something.
That's right.
Yeah, and he's telling us that we can be proactive in testing our faith. Mm. I remember when, Pat, remember when you were a brand new believer and it was amazing. He don't ask this anymore. But he was working for an employer and he fell miserably. Mm-hmm. And he immediately asked God to test him again.
Wow.
Immediately. He's like, bam. I ain't heard stuff like that.
But, hear that no more.
Yeah, I'll hear that no more. But he passed the second time. He had plenty of opportunities.
Praise
particular
God.
Employer. I don't know how he had that employer.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, I can't imagine either. But then it literally proves our faith. It proves our that you can say you have faith. You can be all zealous and stuff. You see all these, you know, brand new Christians of the Lord, and I love their fire. But you got to pray for them because they're going to go through times of testing to prove that faith out. You know, Jesus talks about the seed and the sower. You know, some fell upon the rock, some fell upon the thorns and the weeds, and their faith did not prove genuine. They didn't survive the process. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to be tested, and these things are going to come to you. But we can be proactive in saying, you know what, I'm going to embrace these three realities. I like what Mike Bickle calls this is like the constitution of the kingdom. Ooh. And the constitution is what we're made up of. It's the supreme law for the church. This is what we're supposed to do. And it's a time of proving our faith. You know, Paul tells us, you know, specifically that proves the trials prove the authenticity of our faith, that it's authentic. That it's God's perspective of the trial is that we trust him in the midst of the trial. And we don't define where we are by what we're going through. We just say, whatever I'm going through, God's going to get me through this. You know, and it's not about everybody and you. It's about you and God and how you're going to go through that. And so we can be proactive in this expectation of God to be able to get these blessings in our life. And when we get back from this break, I'm going to tell you now, that's the perspective of it. Now I'm going to talk to you about what are the eight blessings that come if we do this. We'll be right back.
You may be joining us today and you're searching. You're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. We try to share not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He's a real loving Father who loves you, who sent his son so that you can have a relationship with him. Go to meetmyfather.org and you can read some of our stories.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to PFN Radio every day, you know, we're 24-7, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you. You know, it's so exciting to think about that we personally can be a part of what God is doing in the season that we live. So often we look in the history books, we look at others and we say, look what they did and look what they're doing. We found out that we can affect this generation. We found out through VFN TV and the Daily Radio program that there is a virtual stadium
a virtual stadium of an audience that joins us and stays with us 365 days a year. And we also found out the way that we can actually get them exposed to VFN TV and VFN radio is through the social networking community. Over a billion people plus are involved in the social network community. And for a dollar, for a simple dollar, we're able to communicate with them. It kind of averages out to about a dollar based on what we presently know. That when we share it with them, they come and sit down in the stadium and they get to hear all the encouraging words, all the prophetic happenings, things that we're sharing to encourage them, but also draw them to Christ. Yes, Billy Graham did it for years in stadiums and did it wonderful, but we have a virtual stadium that stretches from as far as the east as from the west, and you can be a part of it. Partner today, go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. A dollar puts one person in the seat. Imagine $1 a month. That's 12 people in a year that you sat down that stays in the stadium. $5 a month. You're sitting five people in the virtual stadium. Or $100. That's 100 people a month that you're setting in this virtual stadium to be encouraged, because we're partnering together to bring people to the light of Jesus Christ. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. We're just talking about the Sermon on the Mount. You could think of it like the constitution of the church, you know, the expectations of God towards us. And he says, the first thing he talks about is, listen, I want you to be blessed. I want you to be blessed. And then he begins to explain eight different trials, eight different difficulties that we have to walk through in maintaining our faith. And just say, you know what? I'm just going to do these eight things. I'm just going to do them. I'm going to pray that God will give me grace to do them. I'm going to maintain my faith. It's not going to change my faith in God and who he is as I go through them. And he has eight blessings. And these are the eight blessings that he tells us if we do those eight things. And let me tell you the eight things real quick, like again, is the first one is to embrace weakness. Literally just bring it close to you as a good friend. Embrace weakness. And people, it just blows their mind when you don't fight back. Mm-hmm. It just blows their mind. But embrace weakness. Have a brokenness. The second one is a brokenness over your sin, over our sin. It's not something like, oh, I guess I sinned, I got to repent. It's like you're broken over the fact of what happened there. Mm-hmm. Humility. We have to have humility in walking it, which is the trial in itself quite often. The fourth one is seek to know Jesus' ways and obey them. The fifth one is just showing mercy to others. The sixth one is to have pure motives in our hearts. The seventh one is to be a peacemaker. And the eighth is obedient even in persecution and bearing up under unjust treatment and suffering for doing good until we're wrong. Listen, when we can say begin to walk those out, and this is the, you know, blessed are those who do these things.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tells us very specifically, you know, what those eight blessings are. When we embrace weakness, for example, when we voluntarily embrace weakness, this is what happens. It gets us into the kingdom of heaven. It gets us into the kingdom of heaven. Think about that. It's huge. So think about, okay, I'm going to embrace this weakness. And in the context of that, this gives me access into the kingdom of heaven. Mm. It's real crazy in the sense, because you think maybe I got to do it. I said, listen, no, that's not how it works. It's embracing weakness. And that gets in the kingdom of heaven. The second one is being broken and repented for our sins. It brings us comfort from the Lord.
Ooh.
So no longer is your repentance some sort of just robotic, I sin, forgive me, let's move on. It is, I'm broken over this.
Mm-hmm.
God, forgive me. And look, we just did something against God.
Mm-hmm.
But when we own up to it, and it's just so beautiful, if this ever happens, we see people that own up to their stuff and they repent, your heart just melts towards them. Well, God's perfect, and his heart melts towards us, and he says, oh. And so then he comforts us. So God begins to comfort us when we're broken about our sin.
Mm-hmm.
That's a blessing. That's a blessing when the creator of the universe comforts you.
Yeah.
Mm.
When you were the one that was wrong, when we were the one that made a mistake.
Man. Mm.
That's a huge blessing.
Mm.
The third is humility, you know, walking in total dependency on God and respect for other people. What does it do? It brings us the earth as our inheritance. Think about it. It brings us the earth as our inheritance. He even talks about it in Revelations 11:15. A new heaven, a new earth. Listen, this is an awesome thing.
Yeah.
You know? And it, you got to understand, when you read Hebrews chapter 11, he's talking about these people, the hall of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding that they look like the antithesis of all these blessings, but the reality was that the world was not even worthy of them. Because we're not living for this life. These eight expectations, these eight trials that we walk through have eight blessings, and we're not looking necessarily for a blessing in this lifetime, although he does bless us, but it's a blessing for eternity. Another aspect of showing on the fifth, he says, you know, show mercy towards others. He says, listen, it brings us mercy from God. Mercy is a beautiful thing, because mercy is when we do something wrong and it's something we're deserving of it, that if we will be merciful to other people, that they deserve not mercy and not kindness, but you're merciful to them, then the blessing is God's merciful to you. You reap what you sow.
Yeah.
You think about it, it's a beautiful blessing right there. And the fourth is seek to know and obey Jesus' ways. What does this do? It brings us the fulfillment of God's promises in our lives. It brings to pass God's promises in our lives. That's beautiful. What a blessing that is.
Yeah.
What a blessing that is. And the fifth is showing mercy to others. Brings us mercy. I talked about that. And the sixth is, as pure motives, having pure motives in our heart gives, this is the blessing, it gives us access to see God. For the pure in heart are going to get to see God. But them tell you, that's a trial. That's a battle to keep your heart pure. That's a battle. But listen, when we go through that and have faith in God and trust God and embrace weakness and be his disciple and all these eight things that we're talking about, he says that with pure motives, it gives us access to see the face of God, to see God.
Huge reward.
Huge. This is the first thing that he's talking to us about after coming out. This is God, Emmanuel, in the flesh, sitting on a mountain, telling us this thing. The first thing he tells us, listen, I want you to be blessed. And he was embracing the weakness of becoming all man and all God. He was demonstrating it sitting on a mountain when he's holding the mountain together.
Yeah.
You know, all of that. And then he tells us, of course, if we're the peacemakers, which are the confronters and do what it takes to be able to have peace, he says, listen, this the blessing is that this identifies us as sons of God. The blessing is you have an ID badge on you going, that's a son of God. Somehow he's willing to do what it takes to bring the peace, God's peace. And the eighth and the last promise of the blessing, how to have a blessed life that he's telling us here, is that being obedient, even in persecution and suffering for doing good, brings us a great reward in heaven. To the measurement and the extent of the persecution brings us the measurement and the extent of the reward in heaven. The more you go through in this life and holding on to your faith, the greater is your reward in heaven. The first thing that Jesus told us was, I want to bless you. I want to bless you. But you're going to have to embrace these eight weaknesses. You're going to have to just trust me in these things. And if you trust me in these things and give up all your agendas, give up all your self-preservation, give up all your pride, give up all your religion, and just go after God and trust him in these things, these eight things, that these eight blessings are yours.
How powerful is that?
It's powerful.
How powerful is that? Here you're talking about what Jesus instructs us to have a blessed life. And yet, I mean, we do well to stay in the words of Jesus. You know, that you read other stuff and there's other stuff being taught about having a blessed life. Jesus already is telling us how to have a blessed life.
The very first thing he says, John, is I want to bless you. But then he gives us the secrets to the blessing. And right. We'll be talking more. We're just pondering, kind of soaking on the constitution, you know, of the church. And I do want to say this, that I was wanted to talk about this earlier. We're talking about Chris Kyle and the former SEAL that had been murdered.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking about post-traumatic stress disorder. I just feel in my heart, since he had a bounty on him, an Islamic bounty on his head,
yeah,
that, you know, I wouldn't just automatically say, hey, some American soldier killed him. I would find out deeper than that. Did we have one of? Did they recruit one of our own to end this man's life? And now it's being blamed on. I mean, I'm not saying it is, but I'm just saying don't just automatically say this is what happened. Find out the motive behind this crime and don't write it off as some sort of just. Mm-hmm. And that's a real thing. I mean, PTSD is a real thing. As a matter of fact, I want you to hear firsthand from a former Marine that came from. He had two tours of duty in Iraq. And he came through the same stress, and see how God can meet you and meet your needs outside of all medications, outside of everything, when you encounter Jesus. As a matter of fact, listen up.
Amen.
You know, speaking, I'm thinking about, Donna had a chance to go on the 4th of July and go have lunch together. And we went to the very place that you cried out to God. And I was sitting and I was sitting in this restaurant and Miller's L House, and on the uncomfortable stool. And I finally looked at the waitress and said, "Is that your section over there with the comfortable chair?" Because she goes, "Oh, it's just very nice." No, move over there. And I'm looking at the place where they do drinks and all that type of stuff right there. And God's just reminding me, you know, what happened back there. Isn't that awesome?
Mm-hmm. Man. Yeah. That is the truth, and it's just it's always good just to have that so close, because you remember just like where you came from, and just a constant reminder of who you are apart from Jesus.
I thought it'd be cool is to go there and take a picture, you know what I'm saying? Stand right behind there and have somebody take a picture so that they can see, because this people don't. God will meet you right where you're at, even if you don't even know Him, and that's part of your testimony. You got to hear, I think it's called Marine Encounters God on. In the highlights area of the VFN TV app, and just hear, you know, what happened. You did an excellent job of sharing. It was just powerful. You know, many people have been touched. As a matter of fact, you know, on VFN radio, a Marine who was in Bloomberg, Indiana. He was listening to VFN radio. And when he heard your testimony, he was at the end of himself,
right?
You know, and so many soldiers right now are coming back. You know, I think about, you know, Josh that we just talked to, and when you're at so high intensity, you know, there's three things you talked about, you know, stay alive, get back alive, and something else, you know, protect your buddies. And then you come back to America that's so detached from the reality that it takes to be able to have America, and even trying to turn away from the God that's sustaining America. And it's just hard to integrate what you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's sitting here empty, you know, angry, but I could understand why. And he hears you on VFN radio. And how to describe it?
He was just saying the fact that he could relate, because he was going through the exact same process. And he had said, I was just telling him the truth and the power of repentance. And you can just give everything to Jesus. And everything you're feeling right now is just you're going to find that answer through Jesus Christ. And as we were, the amazing thing is as we're talking, he just says, I just feel lighter.
Yeah.
And then he says, where I have been empty for so long, I now feel fuller.
Yeah.
And it was just powerful how God just brought us together and was able just to communicate and just share.
Even before you even talked to him, I remember that he, you know, he was hearing VFN radio. He cried out to the same Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, when nobody's around but VFN radio and what you're sharing and God, that he just said, I was at all these things that we described. And then he said, I was empty prior to that, but I felt full. And that's just him, VFN radio, and God. I'm going to thank everybody that is sowing financially into VFN radio. Listen, we need to be there for our troops. We need to let them know that only God can understand something so tough to go through as transitioning from war to a people who don't even connect with the reality of what it takes to sustain or honor the ones that have done that. And those that have been giving a gift and sowing financially, you can do that on your VFN TV app. You can do it at VFNTV.com. But because of your faithfulness, because of what you're doing, we were able to be there, you know, for Jordan.
Right.
You know, we were able to be there for Josh. We give a shout out to Josh this morning. And I'm going to give a shout out to all our soldiers And first, I want to apologize for the way you're being received. I don't want to try to understand, because it's probably one of your biggest frustrations. People say, I understand. It's like, no, you don't.
No, you don't.
I still have dirt in my nose from Afghanistan. You don't understand. And the loss, you know. But God understands. God totally understands. And you can go to the highlights. Go to the highlights on your VFN TV app and listen to VFN Radio highlights on the VFN TV app and listen to A Marine Encounters God. And just like Jordan, you know, you'll be able to understand what God can do and will do for you. The same Jesus. Isn't that cool?
Amen.
That is so cool. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.